Pastor Ray Bentley explains how we're to act on the love God places inside of us.
I want to challenge you that if you are saved and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, we are surrounded by multitudes of people who are wounded and hurting and lost and suffering and in tremendous need. I want to say that as you begin to serve others, you will be ministered to as you minister to others.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel, to the whole world. The belief in our hearts should translate into the action of our feet. If we say we love others but never show our love in a tangible way, that's inconsistent, maybe even hypocritical. Today, Pastor Ray shows us how to be servants, how to let the love of Christ live through us in a tangible way.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Okay, if you haven't been with us, or if you're new today, we're going chapter by chapter, verse by verse, right now through the book of 1 Timothy, making our way through right now the New Testament. This morning we're talking about deacons and deaconesses. It is a ministry that covers both men and women, and Paul begins talking about it in verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Paul says, likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. Now, how many of you, just out of curiosity, were not here to hear the talk about elders? Okay, for those of you who missed it, in the talk about elders, it says that an elder should not be given to wine. Here you'll notice in verse 8, as we move on to talk about deacons, it says they should not be given to much wine. And that's why a lot more guys would rather be deacons than elders. But I'm teasing. Basically what it means is that you do not find, you know, I mean, obviously, the Bible, while it does not condemn drinking per se, it does condemn drinking to excess, or where you are drinking for the sole purpose of trying to meet your needs, as opposed to the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye continuously filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the same drive that will drive a man to drink, to come under the influence of alcohol, is the same drive that will lead another man to come under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But there are some obvious differences and tremendous benefits by coming under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you with a hangover, and he does not rob you or mock you or make you look foolish in the eyes of others, but strengthens and nourishes. So he's saying basically you're not someone that just sits there basically all day and is loosed in their tongue, but they're straight. They're somebody that basically is, the word deacon means servant. I have here in your notes, the word deacon, the Greek word is diakonos. In the New Testament, that Greek word that in English is deacon means servant. So when we're talking about deacons and deaconesses, we're talking about those who are servants, or sometimes the word is translated minister. When we think of ministry, some of you think, oh, that's what Pastor Ray does. He's a minister. No, we're all called to minister. We're all called to serve. And here, this particular idea here, Jesus used this word, servant, Greek word deacon, to express his radical idea that human relationships should be one of mutually serving one another. That's what heaven is going to be like. And that's why heaven is going to be heaven. And that's why the earth is not heaven. Because basically people on the earth, You know, if you look at it, what is wrong with the world? When you look at human society, and it almost, it gets too much. I have to watch sometimes how much news I watch, because it's so bad, it's so negative. And it's especially if you have a sensitive spirit, you've come to know the Lord, and you have a tender heart at all, it's grievous to see the way human beings treat one another. And you realize that what drives the mocking, abuse, and aggression, and greed, and all the rest of it, and its essential nature being selfish. When Satan came into the Garden of Eden, and he had Adam and Eve, and he deceived us, the idea was, you shall be as gods. With the idea being then that you get everybody else to serve you and meet your needs. We have now what is called we are often described as a consumer society. And I don't like that name. I don't like being put in boxes anyway, but being called a consumer, as if your sole identity is merely to sit and consume, to be served. But with all of that selfishness, Jesus now comes along and he says, that shall not be so in the kingdom of heaven. I have come to plant, as it were, a seed of heaven itself, and it's flipped upside right. And the reason heaven is that everybody there is a servant, including the one who is seated on the throne. That's why when Jesus, the night before he went to the cross, got up from the table and put a towel around his waist in the form of a slave and got down upon his knees and lovingly washed the disciples' feet. He said, I'm being an example to you. That's why heaven is heaven. Angels are ministering spirits. That means they are servants. Now, we're talking beyond salvation. You say, Pastor Ray, I believe in Jesus and that he's the Son of God and he died on the cross for my sins and he rose from the dead and I've received him into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior and I'm going to heaven. Good. But that's only the beginning. Now is a lifelong process with a very fancy word in the Bible described as sanctification. And that's where you are being transformed into the very character and nature of Jesus Christ. It is not enough to believe. Sometimes, you know, it's certainly good to believe, and it begins with belief, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. But it doesn't end with believing. Believing should also grow into the way we behave, the way we actually live. If what we're believing is the truth, it should affect my choices, my decisions, my thought life, my heart, my attitude, and the choices that I make. In fact, someone has well said that you really only believe as much as you actually obey. In other words, the way that you behave is a reflection of what you really believe on the inside. That's how much you really believe. And if the areas that we disobey, we're saying, well, I don't quite trust the Lord in this way or in that. So Jesus is saying, he is a servant. Your Father in heaven is a servant. Now, you know what the essence of a servant's heart is? What motivates someone to serve someone else? Love. What motivates a father to serve his children? Love. Or a mother, her children, love. And so the Father loves us and serves us. Jesus, our Savior, loves us and serves us. As we're born into his family, he says, now I want you to serve one another. Now I have put into your notes Mark chapter 10, verses 43 through 45. This happens to be out of the NAV. I use to teach out of the New King James Version, but sometimes I will put different versions in for different passages. Now, I want you to read this scripture with me, but don't read the word deacon. We'll talk about that in a minute. It comes up three times in this passage. But let's read Mark 10, beginning with verse 43, out loud from your notes. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, that word servant is the translation of the Greek word that means deacon, and so I'm going to put that word into it since that's what we're talking about. Jesus said, whoever wants to become great among you must become your deacon. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be deaconed, but to deacon and to give his life as a ransom for many. So this takes this whole calling of being a deacon. Jesus said, I am your deacon. I am your servant. And the reason that I serve you is that I love you. Now, Luke chapter 22, verse 27, this is out of the New King James Version. Let's read this scripture out loud. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. Jesus is now saying in the Gospel of Luke, he says, now on earth, the greater person or the one who is considered great is the one who sits at the table. The lesser are those who come and minister to him. Yet I tell you that in the kingdom of heaven, the greater is not he who sits and waits to be served, but the greatest is the one who himself or herself serves the other. That is what is great in the eyes of your Father. That is the heart of your Father, to minister, to serve, to be a deacon. And now Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit in you is going to lead you through this new family of God, made up of brothers and sisters, to begin serving others. Now, I know that some of you are probably saying, okay, but Pastor Ray, you don't understand. I used to serve, but I have lost my way. Or I'm in a place now where I cannot serve any longer. I've been chewed up. I have been exploited. I've been used. I've been burned out. I just am not in that place. I need to be ministered to. Well, yes, we do need to be ministered to, and that's what Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, is constantly doing, serving us and ministering to us. But here is a mistake that people often make. They say, well, I'm going to sit here and wait until I get ministered to and I become strong enough, as it were, then to go out and then go, you know, serve others. And what can happen if you have that attitude sometimes is you sit in that same place and you don't go anywhere and you don't grow. You become more and more lonely, more and more isolated, and before you know it, you feel left out, left behind. Even though you may be in a crowd of a lot of people and you can sing the songs and you can enjoy, as it were, the time of worship and hear the Bible, but something is still missing. And you say, well, I'm waiting. Let me encourage you. And I want to do it in a gentle way. But I also want to do it in a way that hopefully will provoke in you to think maybe in ways that you haven't thought before. If you are in a place where you say, you know, for whatever reason, I don't have anything left to give, nothing to minister out of, I want to challenge you that if you are saved and you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, we are surrounded by multitudes of people who are wounded and hurting and lost and selfish and lonely and in pain, suffering, and in tremendous need. So here we are, and as we're sitting there, the Holy Spirit is wanting to say to you, I want you to serve others. I want you to minister to that one. Because it's out of your own misery and your own suffering and out of your own pain that you've gone through that your eyes, at least now, through your own experience, become open to see what's going on in so many other lives. And it's good, Lord, I pray you would send someone to them to maybe befriend them or smile at them or invite them over or bless them in some way. Lord, send someone. But the Lord is really saying, no, you are my eyes, you are my hands, you are my feet. You see, but if I go to them, I don't have anything to give. I want to challenge that. I want to say that as you begin to serve others, even and especially when you say, I'd have nothing left in the tank, When you begin to serve others, there is something miraculous that happens, because the very nature of the Holy Spirit within you is to be a comforter and to come alongside. And you will be ministered to as you minister to others. It's like the man that was lame, and Jesus comes up to him and he just says, "Man, I want you to stand up, roll up your mat, and walk." And the man said, "But I have been lame, low all these years. I can't." Jesus did not go over and say, "Oh, I didn't know, I didn't understand," and come over and try to help him. He gave the word, "Stand up, roll up your mat that has been your prison all these years. You've gone nowhere. Throw it over your shoulders and walk." By giving the word, the man was then left with a decision to make. Well, he's not doing anything, but he told me to do it. All you can do is try. And when the man tried, because his thinking was, "I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't." Satan loves to get Christians who are God's only human vessel now until the second coming, of being hands and feet and a mouth and eyes and ears and heart. We are his body. It's no mere metaphor. We are the body of Christ here upon the earth. Jesus, if he wants humanly to touch someone or throw an arm around a shoulder or pray or lay hands upon or speak a blessing, he needs human beings, his own children. So try. I can imagine that man, as he hadn't used his legs for so long, the muscles are all atrophied. Even if he gets healed, he can't stand. Well, but try. I can imagine as he pulled his knees up and all of a sudden his feet get beneath him, and he pulls his legs, he pushes with his arms, he stands to his feet. He looks down at the mat that has held him captive, where he has had nowhere to go, lo, these many years. He rolls it up, he throws it over his shoulder, and he walks. And that man and his story and his testimony, I'm sure God used him to go to all kinds of people and minister to them the very same thing. Follow Jesus, listen to Jesus. "But I can't." Try. Because when this man spoke and told me I could and I tried, which is basically mingling faith with what Jesus said, then the miracle happened. So I want to encourage you, serve. Serve others. Serve when you think that you can't. Serve when you're still, you know, as it were, on your mat, thinking I'm lame, I can't. No, you can. And Jesus, he brings healing in the midst of all this. This very word, deacon, came to represent any kind of ministry. Now, we don't call, you know, someone deacon so-and-so and deaconess. We use the word minister. We have all kinds of ministries, as you read through the bulletin, ministries. Same word. It's translated sometimes servant, sometimes minister, or ministry, or deacon. It's all the same. So we tend to use ministry, women in ministry, men's ministry, servants. Those who usher here are doing a deacon's ministry. Those who are teaching in Sunday school are doing a service ministry. Serve in some way, though, in some capacity. Paul the Apostle called himself a deacon of Christ. And there's nothing, you know, puffed up about it. There's nothing self-promoting about it. It's just, I just want to serve. Here I am, Lord. Help me as I serve you and your people. So there's a lot here about character. The servant deacons must be reverent, in other words, serious about their faith and about their walk with God, worthy of respect, not double-tongued, saying one thing one day and one thing another day, saying one thing to one person and another thing to another person, not given to much wine, not greedy for money. So you're not to be drunk on either wine or drunk for money. Now, verse 9, he says, holding the mystery of faith, of the faith, with a pure conscience. What does that mean? Holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. The mystery of the faith is Jesus. It's the gospel. That's the mystery. The mystery of the Old Testament was, how can a man How can a sinful man have a holy a relationship with a holy God? How can a sinful woman really have an intimate relationship with the holy God of heaven? Because of all of our sins and of all of our shame and all of our guilt. That was the question really of the Old Testament. And though they had the animal sacrifices and the shedding of blood, and that all of that was a shadow really that prefigured what finally would be the revealing of the mystery. And that's Jesus. The story of Jesus upon the cross and dying for our sins, doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. He paid for my sins with his death. And then he rose from the dead. And he gives to me eternal life by his Holy Spirit. So a servant of the Lord, a deacon or a deaconess, is someone who knows the gospel and who knows that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he gives eternal life to all who believe in him, and that trusting in Christ alone for salvation is what it's all about. Amen? So you know that, and you hold it with a pure conscience, and the idea being that you don't let anything else be added to Jesus or added to the gospel. It's just simple childlike faith. Someone who knows and understands the gospel, the mystery of faith. They know about Jesus and they're capable of sharing it with others. Now in verse 10, he says, "But let these first be tested and then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless." And I actually have here in your notes, 1 Timothy 3:10, this is out of the New Living Translation. I still like the Living Bible, but I even more enjoy the New Living Translation because it's not a paraphrase. This is actually a translation in modern English. So I put it in your notes, 1 Timothy 3:10. Let's read this scripture out loud together. "Before they are appointed as deacons, they should be given other responsibilities in the church as a test of their character and ability. If they do well, then they may serve as deacons." We must be tested because God loves us and he wants to bring us through that test. So everyone that will be a servant of God will be tested. First a servant, then a leader.
Good insight on servant leadership today. Pastor Ray Bentley leading our study of 1 Timothy here on Maranatha Radio. Now, to get a permanent copy of today's message, just contact us and mention the title of the study. It's Heroes of Majesty. And we can send it your way for just $7. Again, the message title is Heroes of Majesty. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in 1 Timothy on a single CD. MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Well, Pastor Ray, we're making available your latest book, The Holy Land Key. And I recently read a review, and it said, "The book leaves you wanting more." This person spoke of how captivating it is to go behind the scenes in biblical prophecy. They said they were stunned.
You know, that was my personal experience. You know, after studying the Bible and knowing generally about prophecy for many years, God began to open up whole new layers of understanding of the past, of the biblical feasts, and of their relevance to the church today. And I was on fire, excited. I couldn't wait to write the book. And it's really exciting to see people reading it and seeing what I've seen, learning what I learned, and then getting on fire. And that's why I can't wait for people to read it and to learn these new things. I think it's going to really change their perspective and open their eyes in some ways they can't even imagine.
And this will reveal what we see reported in the news every day in a whole new light, won't it?
It will. I think that it puts an exclamation point on the things that we keep getting jolted by as we watch what's happening. These are the very signs and patterns that Jesus said are indications the kingdom is on its way.
All right. We'll find out more in Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key, available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. To get a copy, write Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127, or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in 1 Timothy. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.